Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. There have been over 250 active shooter incidents throughout the United States since 2000 in schools, places of worship and entertainment, workplaces, and elsewhere.
On Wednesday, a shooter in Middleton injured three people at the software company where he worked before officers fatally shot him.
Matt McGolan is a police officer with the City of Madison Police Department.
He is part of a group of six officers who train citizens on how to respond to active shooter events. He explains to Lake Effect's Mayon Silver that an active shooter situation is a low probability event with a high impact that citizens can do something about.
Just like we don't climb to the top of the tallest tree during a lightning storm, you know, there's some very simple tools you can learn to maximize your chances of survival if you ever do find yourself in one of these circumstances. And so it's really important for people to understand that if you have this toolkit kind of in the back of your mind and you've been trained in it, not only are you going to respond more effectively if the event happens to you, but you're also going to recover more quickly afterwards because it builds in that psychological and emotional resilience that we look for.
And what are the steps that people should relate to if they're faced with an active shooter situation?
So the group of words that we use for this is, I'm sure many people have heard the Department of Homeland Security's run, hide, fight. That's a really common kind of phrase. Now, we use what's called avoid, deny, defend. And we like that better because we don't want just for you to run, you know, kind of mindlessly just run away, because if you're not thinking, then you may get yourself into trouble. So when we use the word avoid, it means avoid the shooter. Because if the shooter never sees you and cannot target you, you cannot become a victim of the shooter. So if you hear shooting, you want to avoid the shooter. You want to go in the opposite direction. You want to break out a window and get out of the building. You want to just move away from the area where the shooting is coming from or where the shooter is, if you know where the shooter is. If you can't get away or avoid the shooter, then basically we say deny access. So create a situation where you're barricaded in a room or an area of a building where the shooter can't get to you, cannot access you. And that way you're basically making it so that the shooter, again, cannot target you. They can't make you a victim. And so we do advocate, as a last resort, we do advocate that you defend yourself. So avoid, deny, defend. Now, this is a shift for a lot of people because most people don't want to use violence in our communities. However, legally, morally, and ethically, if someone is using violence against you, you have a right to defend yourself. And active shooters use kind of the highest level of violence, which is, you know, they're attempting to cause death or great bodily harm. So you have a right to defend yourself and other innocent people using whatever force is necessary to stop that person from doing it. And sometimes, in certain circumstances, it's actually safer to close the distance to the shooter and defend yourself and fight against that shooter than it is to run away from the shooter. Because if you actually run away from certain places, you can potentially put yourself in more danger from the shooter. So it's a little bit of a mental shift for the defend portion of what we advocate, but it's a much more effective. And in about 18% of cases, even before our training, the civilian response to active shooter events training, has become widespread. In about 18% of those events, of all the active shooter events that have gone before, the intended victims actually stop the attack. They subdue the shooter, or we have had incidents where armed citizens have shot and stopped the shooter.
What are some of the tips on defending if you find yourself in that situation?
So basically what we advocate is that you go for the weapon. The weapon is the threat. So about 600 to 1,000 people a year are killed by unarmed people. They're beaten to death with fists and feet. But about 30,000 people a year lose their lives by firearms. So basically, the weapon, the firearm, is a force multiplier for the shooter. So if we can get quickly to that weapon and make it not work anymore or take it away from the shooter, then basically we level the playing field, and now the shooter is not as dominant as they think they are. So what we advocate is that if you're barricaded in a room or if the shooter walks into the room, there's really no other option, you move toward the shooter and you grab over the top of the slide of a handgun with a C grip, and you basically induce a malfunction in the firearm because the slide, the top of the handgun, must cycle in order for the gun to function properly. So if you grab the weapon, you induce that malfunction, you've basically turned it into a big paperweight, because as long as you hold on to that weapon, the shooter can't make it work again. And a majority of shooters use a handgun when they commit their shootings because handguns are easy to conceal and only revealed when the shooter wants them to be revealed. So I think it's I believe it's around 77% of shooters use a handgun, a semi-automatic handgun, to commit their shooting. And then once you have a grip on the gun, then we go on the offensive and we use what's called the hammer fist technique. And that's using kind of that bottom fleshy part of your hand rather than your knuckles to strike the shooter. And the target area that we want to attack is the vision and wind specifically. So the nose and the eyes and the mouth. Now, if you've ever been hit in the nose, you know that your eyes water, your eyes close, you move your face away from the injury. There's no way to stop your eyes from watering if you're struck in the nose hard enough. So it creates physiological dysfunction in the shooter. So the key here is to stop the fight as quickly as possible and win. And so that's what's really key is getting a hold of that weapon, leveling the playing field, and then striking back and taking the person out of the fight.
Now, what about if somebody is actually hit by gunfire in a situation like this? How should they respond?
Well, they should keep fighting because as soon as you give up, you're putting your life in the hands of the person who's already shown they have no respect for human life. If you're struck by gunfire and you arrive at the hospital, no matter how many times you've been shot, if your heart is still beating, you have a 95% chance of survival. The human body is extremely resilient to injury, and the fight or flight response kicks in, which helps our body respond to injury. There was a shooting at a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, where the responding lieutenant was shot between 15 and 17 times. He survived because he used what's called autogenic breathing to slow down his heart rate and reduce his blood loss. And he also had kind of a can-do attitude. He basically said, I'm not going to die in this parking lot today. And obviously getting to medical attention quickly was helpful as well. But he survived. The human body is amazing. You need to understand that most of the time if you're shot, you're going to be able to continue to fight through it physically. Now, mentally, being able to overcome the fear and possibly pain is a totally different thing.
And what about the use of a tourniquet?
The tourniquet is one of the best tools to stop bleeding from an extremity. So arms, legs, those areas. And what we do find is that obviously a lot of people are hit in the arms and legs because many times these shooters are shooting just kind of randomly and haphazardly and they're not really aiming. They're just shooting into larger crowds. And so a tourniquet is very effective tool at stopping bleeding in extremities. We also train wound packing, which is going to be more in the abdominal areas or the thicker tissue areas of the body. We also train using chest seals because anytime you have an injury in the chest area of someone, you will likely have a puncture of a lung from penetrating trauma like a firearm injury. And so we train three main types of first aid when it comes to helping with these particular the types of injuries that are found specifically in active shooter events. The tourniquet is just one of the three that we advocate. And then you have chest seals and you also have wound packing. I just think it's really important to advocate for someone to reach out to your local police department and find out if they offer some type of civilian response to active shooter events training.
Matt McGolin is a police officer with the City of Madison. He also trains civilians on how to respond to active shooter events. He spoke with Mayon Silver.